In this episode, I am joined by Mike Lorimer, co-creator of Destined, to talk about creating cities, and we celebrate 50 episodes of the podcast. Welcome to the Midwest Matters podcast, season 1, episode 50, Creating Cities and Having a Celebration. And welcome to Mithras Matters, a podcast dedicated to the Mithras rule set and all its supplements. As always, I am your host, Inwills, and welcome to October. So in this episode, I'm going to save all my general waffling to the end of the podcast and get straight on with the interview. If you have bought or played Destined, you will be aware that it comes with a ready-made city called Gemelos for your heroes to protect. So I wanted to have a chat with Mike to hear his advice about how to create believable cities in any role-playing campaign. So I'll let Mike introduce himself.
Sure. My name is Mike Larimore. I am one of the writers of Destined. I also wrote Agony and Ecstasy, and I wrote Elevation for M-Space.
Fantastic. And one of the brilliant parts of Destiny has to be the city that comes along with the rules. And I was really interested about how you set about creating that. So just to start off with, where do you start with creating a city?
To me, the city is very much as much of like, the setting in general can very much be one of the main characters of a story. You know, whenever you are writing an adventure, you're writing fiction, if you don't have a good setting, then it takes away. I mean, you can do a good character study and things like that, but I think it's necessary. And if it's going to be an integral part, and with superheroes especially, you know, I think any setting, you know, you think of Waterdeep for Forgotten Realms, you think of, you know, Greyhawk, you know, all these things that these like classic fantasy cities that we have. It's very much something where if you have that one location, if you have that one place, and the characters are mainly focused there, they're mainly doing most of their adventures there, the more detail you give it, the more character it has, the more it builds on the story, it builds on the campaign. And for superheroes, obviously, there are very much iconic superhero cities. You know, Marvel Comics usually leans more into fictionalized versions of real world cities, but you know, DC Comics, you have Gotham City, you have Central City, The Flash, you have Metropolis, you have Coast City, you know, you have all these different locations. And that was the very first thing with Destined, you know, before technically Agony and Ecstasy, is that I needed a city, you know, a superhero city. So I was thinking of different themes, thinking of different, you know, things I wanted to be part of that city. And honestly, with Gemelo City or Gemini City, it wasn't Agony and Ecstasy. Part of it was thinking about mythology. So I was thinking very much of Greek mythology in terms of that. I know there's a section in the Destiny book where I talk about superheroes as modern mythology. And so I was thinking kind of, you know, here we have Olympus and here we have the underworld. You know, we have the crown, we have the ossuary. But then also from a superhero standpoint, I was thinking here we have Metropolis, which is the crown, the shiny tech wealthy section of this of Gemelo City, and then we have the industrial area, the slums. We have the ossuary, which is Gotham. So that was kind of part of that too. But for me, also a big part of my creation process when it comes to a setting of a city is I'm very much someone I like a map.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Because cities are huge, you know, and I was just sort of, I agree, players like maps, I think GMs like maps, and it really allows players to picture themselves in the city, you know, if they've got that map. So where do you start with maps? Tell me more about that.
Well, I'm lazy and I'm not an artist. And the idea of sitting down and drawing cities block by block is just not something that is appealing to me. So I'm someone who very much is a fan of mapping programs, map generators. And thankfully, we live in an era as gamers where there's just a wealth of resources out there. Mm. Personally, and actually, I will say that it kind of formed the basis of the map of Gamela City. There's a free one. If you actually just look up RPG Fantasy City Generator.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to probably butcher this pronunciation, but it's called Watabu.
I don't know
it. And it just, it randomly generates a city, and you can Fantastic. Set parameters. You can set, you know, density, you can set the size of the city, you can set in, you know, whether there's water. And I was playing around with it, just kind of refreshing it. And until I found one that kind of thought, okay, this kind of looks like what I had in my imagination. And it used as the basis, actually, even for the end map of Gamela City. For my personal campaigns, you know, I'm doing a fantasy campaign right now that's a thief campaign that's set primarily in a single city.
Nice.
And I'm a big fan of, and this is, you know, we want to say that Mythos Matters is not sponsored by this
Yeah.
I personally like a program called Incarnate.
Right.
That's what I've been using for maps because it's just a real easy program and I'm not very technically savvy. You know, I can't go into some of the deeper creation programs, but for me, it has got a pretty robust tool set, even for the free version. So I will start with building a city map. And for me, that helps because it kind of spurs my imagination. You know, if I have a map at hand, I can look at it and I can start filling in blanks. You know, I'm going to add a little detail here. I'm going to add a location here, a point of interest here. And that's kind of what happened with Gamelos, is that I had this map and I, you know, for Agony XC, I just was worried about one section of Gamelos.
Yeah.
So I could kind of focus on that. But when it came to the actual main book, when we started doing Destin, I had to really expand it. So I just took the city map and I started just putting points on it. Like I would just kind of draw little dots of the printed map I had and I'd write a name. You know, I'd write a location. I'd write a point of interest. And then as I was building the city in the book, that's what I did, is I would just think, okay, what's IASO healthcare and what's the stadium like, and what's the big deal about, you know, Asphodel Public Park?
Yeah.
And it just coming up with little interesting things to make them be an important location or stand out.
And that's a really, I think, beneficial approach, because I think a city can be quite daunting when you're starting, you know, whether or not it's a fantasy campaign or sci-fi or superhero. It's quite a daunting space because it is huge, you know. Yeah. And I think a lot of times what we need to do is just focus in little sections or put little bits in, like what you, I thought your idea of like points of interest is really interesting. We don't need to, well, I don't think we need to bother about the numbers down the street and what's two doors down from that. We are just giving like the feel of the city. And for me, that's the most important thing, that feel.
And I think to me, part of that's also that while you can have locations, I think, you know, when you're building something like that, you need the blank spaces too. You need spots on the map that you can fill in on your own or that your characters can fill in. You know, in this campaign that I'm running right now, I put the map out and I gave everybody little dot stickers. And I said, okay, tell me an important location to your character here and put it on the city map. And let them build some, you know, little taverns and little, you know, neighborhoods and different things. So it became more of their city as well. Even with Gamelos, there is a ton of blank space on that map. you know, you can have the freedom to build the city, or, you know, we have the other locations in the world of, you know, Destin that we just mentioned, you know, that there's other cities out there, and just kind of a little theming, but essentially a blank slate, you know, and I think even when you have a map, you know, I think if you go back, you know, Waterdeep's a great example. You know, I have a friend who is, you know, ran a campaign in Waterdeep in the Forgotten Realms, and he had every resource imaginable. He had a whole wall of his gaming room covered with this enormous map of the city. And he's read, you know, every Volo's guide, every supplement that's been published, you know, since it first came out, second edition. And he could tell you, you know, the quality of the gravel on the street, you know, because he was just that into the city. And I think you have to balance that out. Some people, that's very much that they enjoy, is that they want to know, you know, what shops are on this block of the city and have it all detailed out. But I think also you're kind of limiting yourself in terms of, you know, it's good to know where, you know, the store is if you want to buy your magic items. But if you have everything spaced out, then there's nothing to discover or nothing to create.
And I think that links back to this idea of co-creation with players as well, in the sense that, you know, if in our Destin, one of the characters plays a lawyer in their real life, and we needed to find a place for that lawyer to have her offices. And because the city wasn't fully developed, you knew roughly what area it would be in the commercial area, say. But, and I think that's really important. You need those blank areas to allow for growth, but also for co-creation to get that parties. Well, I think the party then puts their own mark on it. It becomes their city rather than our city that we created and they're playing in it, you know.
Exactly.
And
I think,
yeah. So what about the, do you sort of like think about those areas then? Do you think about like a commercial area, a slum? Is that a part of the creation process?
It absolutely was, because I wanted to still seem like a functional city. You know, even if I'm not going into the weeds and going into depth about every single city block, I wanted to feel like a city that you might recognize or you might associate with something else. You know, I mean, like I said, there's that theming in terms of the city itself, you know, to make it a superhero city. But, you know, think about any kind of big metropolis, is that you're going to have an, you know, industrial area, you're going to have a financial district, you're going to have an arts district, you know, you're going to have suburbs, you're going to have probably natural areas outside of it, you know. And I think that's part of it too, is that you need to make it feel like it could actually exist. You know, even, you know, another fantasy example is Sigil, the city between dimensions in, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, you know, that place that was the big setting of Planescape. You know, even though it's a city, you know, where you have demons and angels and, you know, all kinds of strange things wandering around, it still was a city. You know, it still functioned. There was markets, there were, you know, magic shops, there were universities. I think you need to have that where you feel like it's could be a real place. And I think that pulls the players in too, you know, that they really feel like this, or they can start kind of thinking from their own life experiences and say, oh, well, this kind of reminds me of the city I was in. So,
and there must be certain, I almost like call them services, because I will wonder about like law enforcement and medical and things like the political center. Do you find that you naturally create these as you develop your city, or is it something that you really think about beforehand, so you know the law enforcers are called so-and-so and they're in this district? How do you approach those main components of a city?
I think it's just part of that building. I think, like you said, like I was saying about, you know, making it feel natural. Pardon me. You do need to consider that. You know, we talk in the book about the fact that, you know, the ossuary is pretty much, you know, the police are either corrupt or they're so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, and for me personally, I was thinking of like a real world example. I remember, you know, going to Philadelphia a couple of times, and there are parts of Philadelphia that you feel like that, you know, that the police felt outnumbered at times during its history, you know, in terms of some of the crime issues and some of the things there. So I was thinking about that, you know, in terms of, you know, the mayor, you know, the mayor has to have a character. You have to kind of give their political stance. And it was something like Destined, it was easy because you have this X factor of superheroes coming into it. And so there was a lot of thought put into that idea. You know, if you really had a city, how would it affect that? You know, it's kind of an unspoken thing in a lot of superhero settings that vigilante crime is kind of accepted, you know, that you don't, so there are times in Batman's history, for example, that he's been hunted by the Gotham City Police Department.
Yeah.
But there's also been a lot of times when, you know, you think of the Adam West Batman, where he has a red phone at the commissioner's office.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, he's a deputized agent of the law.
Yeah.
You know, where, and even, you know, in current times, they just kind of look the other way, you know, that he, you know, ties up criminals, or Spider-Man, you know, thank, you know, his friendly neighborhood Spider-Man little notes he puts on criminals he captures. So you have to think about how would the law react to that? You know, why is, you know, even in Destin, why is the Fearless Force accepted and kind of a sanctioned superhero team, but other superheroes are hunted down or persecuted?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of coming up with that. And like you said, even, you know, there needs to be healthcare. There needs to be the type of, you know, services that you expect in a city. And how can you even build on that in terms of an adventure?
Yeah.
You know, an ambulance coming into the ossuary, you know, what happens if one of the gangs decides to stop it and try to take the medicines?
Yeah.
You know, on board.
And I find if when I'm playing Destin, I give like a Network 7 update at the beginning of each session to feed in information about the city. And what I find is that players react to that. You know, you develop an adventure plot line around the police commissioner or something similar, and that allows the party to gain that knowledge and involvement, and then you can sort of like move on to another bit or another bit altogether. Do you, one thing that after the because in America everything, I don't know whether or not this is all cities, but most cities seem to be in grids, you know.
Yes.
And in UK cities, that's apart from Milton Keynes, which is the only one that is a grid. So do you prefer those? Did you go for that grid outline of the roads and blocks, etc.?
Gibellus, I didn't. I will say that. Gibellus, it was kind of, I did put city sections in, and I tried to put a theme in different sections of the city. So you have, you know, different parts of the ossuary.
Yeah.
Where it's not necessarily as crime ridden, or it's a little better. You have some parts that are pretty rough. You have the industrial dock section. So I did kind of put some sections in, but I didn't grid it out. But with my fantasy city in my current campaign, I very much, it's a grid based city. It's very much, this is this section, this is this section, this is the hub. Everything's built around it. So I think it just kind of depends on what you want to do.
Yeah.
And the scale of the city. You know, we don't think of a, you know, I know if anybody who lives in a major city, you know, you're going to deal with traffic, you're going to deal with all the hassles of living in a major city, but you're also, you know, 20 minutes to half an hour to an hour from everything.
Yes.
You know, anything you can think of, you can find. So that's a different thing. But, you know, if your city's not like that, you know, if your city is a smaller scale city or a smaller area, or you're dealing with a fantasy city where, you know, instead of people going around in cars and subways, you're dealing with, you know, walking everywhere, or can you have horse traffic? So it might be a smaller scale city, so you have to kind of account for that too.
How do you, we are talking about art, and you know, before we started this chat, and I'm really interested whether or not you have a visual representation of what the city looks like, because the map gives a very much a layout, but not necessarily what it looks like. And is there, do you have that when you create the city? And if you do, how do you communicate it to your players? Do you think that's important or not?
The lucky thing about writing a book like Destin is that you have artists. So in the book, artwork, and specifically, you know, when we, you know, Sophia was commissioning the art, we talked about that. We talked about what is the difference between, you know, the ossuary and the crown, you know, in terms of that. And I would present a lot of visual imagery representation, even the cover image that we have for the book. There was a discussion about like the architecture, the design, the cultural influences that would come upon it. You know, we talked because it was founded, you know, by Spanish explorers. You know, so we talked about there was kind of a lot of, you know, Spanish influence in some of the design work. And there's the church, you know, that you have, you know, Char fighting on the cover. So there was a lot of that, and I would send a ton of pictures. But again, like I said, you know, we live in that great era, you know, where you can find fantastic artwork a Google search away. So I will oftentimes do that. You know, whenever we are in the city, I will quickly Google an image, you know, that this is this building, this is this person, this is, you know, this particular block or district. And you can generally find, you know, artwork that wonderful artists that put a lot of time in, or you can find real world influenced artwork or pictures that can do that. I was fortunate enough to play in, you know, one of our people on the boards, they asked me to pop in for a session of their Destiny campaign, you know, just to play like a one-off character. And they actually used a lot of, took place in Baltimore. So they would have images from the actual city and street view images from Google and things like that. So you really kind of felt like that. You felt like you were really part of that city. And I think putting a little effort into doing that, you know, can really make a difference for your players, because then it does feel like a living, breathing entity and not just, and I don't know about you too, but, you know, sometimes I'm on and my descriptive elements are fantastic and I'm talking about, you know, the cobblestones, and I'm talking about the lighting and the lamps, the gas lights are, you know, putting soft lighting upon this block as this is. And sometimes I'm like, you're on a street, you know, yeah. I just don't have energy or the creativity of that moment to really come up with a great story. Yeah. Sometimes a nice image can make
a lot exactly. Of yeah. And I think with a lot of AI now, you know, for my Mithras campaign, I wanted a certain look, and I literally typed that look into Adobe Firefly, which again is not sponsored. This is not a sponsor for Adobe or anything like that, but it gave me a whole load of imagery that I just thought, yes, that's what I want. And just sharing that brief image, that one image, can really give the players a feel of where they are and what it actually looks like.
Yes.
We've talked about both, you know, superhero cities and fantasy cities. And I do think a lot of GMs, especially if they're starting out, might be quite daunted by it. So what advice would you give to them? You know, they want, I mean, my only Mithras campaign is set in Lindo, and we spent many hours of gaming never leaving that city. You know, it was a fantastic time. They got to know so much about the city. So it is a really good place to start. So what advice would you give to people who are starting out or want to create a city?
Don't be afraid to use other people's creativity.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, if there's an established setting, and, you know, and even if it's not necessarily for Mithras, you know, you can find generic system neutral campaign settings out there. You can find a ton of back material. You can find fantastic things that other people put a lot of work into that you can use, adapt, you know, if you want to use it wholesale, if you want to change things, if you want to rename it and just make it your own, but kind of use their work. You know, if you're using it for your personal group, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, if you're using it for publication, there's a whole different issue. But you know, use the resources that are out there. I'll tell you one place I love is there's a site called the Cartographers Guild. And it's basically a message board, which is just a collection of people who create maps. They create battle maps. They create world maps. They create city maps. And there's just a ton of stuff there. And sometimes just going on a site like that or doing a Google search and just looking for fantasy city maps. And you might really be inspired by that. And like I said, even what I do with my players, I find that's always been a helpful thing. Get your players involved. You know, if they feel like they have a place in the setting in terms of creating, I think it really, really helps them to feel connected to it. So if you can just say to them, tell me what's on this block, or tell me a place that your character frequents in the city, and have them make up a name. And I'm also a big fan of random generators, because sometimes, you know, we all have jobs and lives and things that are pulling us a million different directions. And as much as we want to spend a couple hours that week coming up with a plot and all kinds of fun places and NPCs, sometimes we just don't have it. So don't be afraid to just, you know, use those type of tools too. We live in a golden age for this, you know, not only in terms of, you know, the hobby is growing and more people are coming to it and realize the fun they can have telling these stories together, but so many people out there are putting out these things that we can use for that very purpose, you know, that we can find a generator for tavern names. We can find a generator for a whole dungeon if you want, you know, that can just map it out for you if you just don't have the time, and to use those resources. And then we can add our own elements and tweak them as we need to and make them something special. But, you know, I think it's about that. It's about, you know, it's easy to feel lost. You know, it's like, I need to have a city for my campaign, or they're traveling to this region and this barony, and I've never actually figured out what's in this barony. Go online and find some things.
Yeah.
Pop on a couple generators.
And you've named some fantastic resources. So do send those, if they're on the web, do send those links over to me, because I'll pop them in the show notes, and I will definitely be using them in the future. It's been fantastic talking to you, Mike, as always. And we look forward to more Destin in the future. Yeah,
there is more Destin coming out soon-ish.
Soon-ish, yeah, which is... Yeah,
we're in the art direction phase, so I think we have a power outage, which I think you mentioned, or I think Laz mentioned,
yeah,
in your last episode. So that is actually the first official adventure for Destin.
Written by yourself.
Written by myself and Bill Yon, who's a good friend of mine, and he's kind of the unseen collaborator in a lot of projects. He's been my editor, you know, behind the scenes about things. And if you ever need a person to help you make sure a rule can be broken, he's the man to break it.
Fantastic. Love it.
I wanted to bring him in on this, because he's helped collaborate a lot of things with me in years and had some great input. So yeah, it's for myself and Bill Yon. And actually, it's exploring the suburbs, a section of the suburbs of Gamelo City. And there is a wonderful random chart that Bill wrote, which is random locations in a suburb. It's a generator.
Excellent.
Speaking of generators, I think I could probably talk about this. If you're fond of random generators, we have a random powers table in there. We have a random passions table in there. There's the random suburb location. So
fantastic. That's definitely on my purchase list now. Anything that's random that I can roll and, you know, create, especially when my mind's a bit blank, that's super helpful. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today, Mike. I really do appreciate it. And thank you for all your helpful hints and ideas. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you too, Ian. Thank you for everything you do. I appreciate everything you're doing for the game. So,
thank you very much. Well, chatting to all the creators on this podcast, I am constantly jotting down ideas for the future. I hope you all feel ready to create a city for your campaigns. Also, I've added the links to the tools that Mike referred to in the show notes, as well as making notes detailing the advice of the creators. I am also compiling a list of synonyms for the word fantastic. Yeah, I know, I really need to expand my vocabulary. Remember, if you would like to be part of the podcast, then you can drop me an email or message and let me know what you would like to chat about. We are always looking for reviews or interviews with people. So if you are interested, you can email me at inworlds@gmail.com or send me a message on the various forums and Discord I frequent. At the start of the episode, I mentioned that we are now celebrating episode 50. It seems absolutely amazing to me that I've reached 50 episodes, but I have to admit it would only be possible with the willingness of fellow role players giving up their free time to participate in the episodes. In way of a brief celebration, I thought I would share some stats with you and also some favourite and popular episodes. Each episode of the podcast gets about 150 to 250 downloads per month, depending on the topic of the episode. However, the downloads do continue after that, with the first ever episode from April 2019, May Your Mithras Matter, currently having 1,358 downloads. There have been two really popular episodes. These are currently episode 17 from October 2020 to M Space and Beyond. No need to tell you what the topic of that one was. And also episode 21, Social Skills and Passive Blocking, that was published in February 2021. As for my favourite episodes, well, I don't really have a single one. I really enjoy any episode when I can remain silent and just ask questions to promote the conversation. These are the episodes with the guest contributors. I find these very inspirational and also have a massive creative urge after finishing the Zoom meeting. As well as some great episodes, I've had some mishaps as well over the 50 episodes. I remember the episode when the younger generation could hear a high-pitched squeal throughout the podcast, while I couldn't hear anything wrong at all. And also there was a month that I missed the deadline for the podcast back in April 2020. For that month, I just recorded an episode that was titled Mithras Matters Apology. Since publishing the podcast, it has had a grand total of 19,218 downloads and is listened to in all of the continents of the world, apart from Antarctica. The podcast has even had two downloads in South America and three in Africa. The country with the most downloads is the United States, with the UK and Germany coming in second and third, and is listened to a total of 320 cities, with the most downloads occurring in Frankfurt, AM, Main, Hesse. Not too sure where that is. I think in Germany. Let me know if I've got that correct. I have to say I really enjoy producing Mithras Matters, although it can be quite stressful at times. Huge thanks to everyone who agrees to be on the podcast. And I am here looking forward to another 50 episodes. Thank you to everybody who listens in and allowing me to be part of a fantastic community. Drat, I should have thought of a different word there. When I eventually hang up my microphone, I'm not planning on doing that anytime soon, by the way, but I'm sure in the thank you speech, the word fantastic will appear several times. And that's it. Another episode of Mithras Matters completed. Don't forget you can check out all my content by following my YouTube channel and the campaign areas on World Anvil. I really appreciate your support and do check out both the Discord and the Tapper Talk forums. There are some great people there sharing their ideas within discussions. So until next time, have a great month of gaming and I will chat to you all in November. Until then, I hope that all your opposed roles succeed and provide you with a well-deserved special. Thanks for listening, everyone, over 50 episodes. See ya. Bye. The content of this podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, so please give appropriate credit if you are sharing or copying any part of this podcast. Thank you.